Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamaya, good evening. How are you? Welcome to Update, where we'll bring you up to speed with a half-hour roundup of what's been happening news-wise today. So coming up before 5.30, the MGP and Classic TT, well, they're almost a distant memory already, but how did it go from an economic point of view, and why did that last race have to be cancelled? Also tonight, would a housing agency on the Isle of Man give more stability when there's political change? Well, one politician certainly hopes so. And we're going to let you know about plans to convert a former bank building in Castletown. All that plus much more. We'll keep an eye on the weather, the latest traffic and travel as well. And if you'd like to get in touch, you're more than welcome to text us. It's 166 177, or you can email studio@manxradio.com. We'll start with a news headline roundup with Dave Fastamai.
This year is the second since racing resumed following World War II in which there have been no competitor fatalities during both the Isle of Man TT and Manx Grand Prix. The only other time was 1982. Clerk of the course Gary Thompson says safety is his primary objective. Emergency services were called out in the north of the island yesterday after a vehicle collided with a house. The collision happened on Loeg Road in Ramsey, resulting in damage to the building. The occupants of the vehicle needed treatment. Those in the property were uninjured. Water levels in three of the four main service reservoirs are still in decline, but there's no suggestion of any restrictions on use coming into force. Kerridoo in Onchan, which is boosted by stocks from the nearby Clipse, is the exception as the only one above the daily average level. Elsewhere, the UK Home Secretary says all asylum hotels must be closed for good, but in a controlled and orderly manner. Yvette Cooper's told the House of Commons there will also be tougher rules on refugees' families coming to the UK. But rival parties wanted to look at leaving or suspending the European Convention on Human Rights. The UK Met Office has confirmed 2025 summer was the United Kingdom's warmest on record. Mean temperatures between June and August were 16.1 degrees Celsius. The previous record of 15.76 was set in 2018. And commuters on ScotRail will pay less for peak travel this evening. The higher fares are being scrapped, so the cost will be the same at any time of day. Those are the update news headlines. The next bulletin is at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Dave. Now the Manx weather, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So, variable amounts of cloud this evening and tonight. There will be a few scattered showers. They'll gradually die out. The fresh to strong southwest wind will slowly moderate. So minimum temperatures tonight around 11. Then tomorrow, it will turn cloudy with the chance of a few showers developing around the middle part of the day. But then it will be bright or sunny later on tomorrow. The southwest wind will soon fall light before swinging to the south or southeast in the afternoon. And top temperatures tomorrow will be around 17. But here's the good news for the return to school. So that walk to school is going to be a little bit soggy on Wednesday because it's going to turn wet on Wednesday morning. The rain will be persistent and heavy at times. It will clear for a time during the afternoon before coming back in the evening, and a moderate to fresh southeasterly wind will turn to the northeast and become fresh to strong later. Autumn, hello. Sunset this evening, 8.10. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 6.27.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
Lost your keys? Got locked out? Get in with Kevin's Keys. Your fast, reliable locksmiths 24-7. Homes, cars and bikes. Kevin's Keys do it all. And why not get a spare set cut and chipped just in case? Call Kevin on 287 287.
At Goat Cashery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cashery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Begoat Cashery on 676 947 or find Begoat Cashery on Facebook.
SMS Trading. New and second-hand furniture from flat pack to fully built. See our range at 3 St Paul Square, Ramsey. All island delivery and man-in-a-van service available. Call SMS Trading on 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime, sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
You listen to Update here on Manx Radio. It's coming up to 5:05. Now, the Infrastructure Minister hopes setting up a housing agency will provide more stability when there's political change. Housing, as we know, was identified as a key issue at the start of this administration, with the hope that an agency would accelerate the construction of affordable homes. Well, since October 2021, three different politicians have held the role of Infrastructure Minister, with two different chairs of the Housing Board. The current Minister, Dr. Michelle Haywood, has been telling Phil Gawne that the agency should provide more continuity.
The amount that we collect in rents is less than we spend on housing. And to my mind, that's an almost immoral position to be in, that if you have people paying public sector rent into your housing thing, then that money should be ring-fenced for public sector rent. Now, because it's so enmeshed in the department at the moment, that money comes into the department budgets, and so that's part of the work that we're doing, is to actually say, well, you know, if we can ring fence this and we can wean the rest of the department off of that finance, and that's for us to work out how those bits are funded. If we can actually then just say that money stays within there, you will be reinvesting every year. You'll be able to expand your housing stock just from what you're doing. So that rent that we already collect covers our maintenance. You know, are we hitting the right maintenance levels on all the houses? We are on most of them, but we have some significant challenges in some of the really older properties, especially those that have been occupied for a very long time, and then, you know, the tenant finally goes into sheltered housing or a home, and in 40 years, you know, nothing's happened to the house. So there are some real challenges for some of our older housing stock coming up there. But we should, if we can keep that boxed in, that housing fund should become self-sustainable within the housing sector.
You made very clear about the churn of ministers in DOI over the course of the last of this administration. Perhaps if the housing agency remains consistent and has independent advisers sitting on it, there's more chance of policy not having to start from scratch every time a new minister comes in.
Yeah, the anticipation for the agency model is, you know, they would give us their plan and they run with it. Actually, their plan that they give us this time next year will run, and it will span over the election, and it will still be running, you know, into 2027. And so you're right, it's about providing that continuity of directing.
That is the Infrastructure Minister, Dr. Michelle Haywood, talking to Phil Gawne there. That was on Perspective, and you can listen back to the full programme as a podcast at manxradio.com. 5:07. Well, the racing fortnight has passed, and for the first time in years, the schedule was extended to nearly 2 weeks with the return of the Classic TT. But did it pull in that extra tourism and economic boost that's really been said it's needed here on the Isle of Man? Darren Timpson has been taking a look.
It's been almost 2 weeks of mostly great weather and even better racing. Throughout the fortnight, fans made their way to the grandstand to cheer on their favourite riders, something Douglas South MHK and the person responsible for motorsports in the Department for Enterprise, Sarah Maltby, describes as a successful event.
We're here to provide entertainment, but also to bring visitors to the island, and this is just one of those ways that we can do so, and hopefully it's been well received, and more people will come back next year. We do have the Classic secured for 3 years in total.
But how is it for business owners? Andy Saunders, the landlord of Quids Inn in Douglas, says visitors and marshals have welcomed the new schedule, but there have been some mixed reviews.
We've had a really successful one, in particular over the bank holiday weekend. Some people on the course seem to think it's a bit quieter, but everybody else is kind of reporting better. And I tell you why I've really quite liked to see the support is in the outlying villages in Peel, in Port Erin and so on. They've definitely seen an upturn.
But what about the campsites? James Hooper from Glenwillan praised the success of the event, while Zoe Huxham from Balaff says there are still some details to iron out.
I'd say we're up by about 60% over this 2 weeks period, 50-60%, because last year, obviously, you only had people coming over for 2 or 3 days. So that bank holiday weekend sells out for that, and then we're dead the rest of the time. Obviously, you've got people here for a 2 week period, some longer, some a bit less, but the majority of them are in for like a week or 2 weeks. So obviously, they're paying for the camp, and you've got the food going here 24/7. So it's a definite benefit for Manx Tourism having it over the 2 weeks.
Also just been a bit of feedback about just the event side of things, even having a central point just to try and gauge information of what's on the days that the racing isn't. We had a fantastic Ramsey Rocks. We had Derby Day. But it's trying to gauge everything that is actually happening. And maybe someone suggested, even with the channels, the WhatsApp channels, maybe Visit Isle of Man could potentially do one and have that all information there so they can go about the island and go and see what's going on.
That was Darren Timpson, who is finding out about how this year's schedule has been when it comes to the economic boost here on the Isle of Man. It's coming up to 10 past five. Now, this Wednesday, September the 3rd, is the Isle of Man's King George's Fund for Sailors Day, which will be marked by the Merchant Navy. The annual event honours the dedication and sacrifice of seafarers past and present. And this year's Wear It Red campaign invites local companies to show their support while raising vital funds for seafarers in need. Well, to find out more, we're joined now by Captain Lee Clark, who is the chair of the King George's Fund for Sailors on the island. Good evening. Thank you so much for being here. Just first of all, I guess, what does the Merchant Navy mean to you personally, and why is it so important for the Isle of Man?
Well, thank you for having me. It's an absolute privilege. So I actually started at the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company when I was 18. I was on board Lady of Man, Sea Cat Isle of Man, and I was a cabin steward. And that sparked my passion, and what I wanted to do is go into a cadetship and become an officer, and that's what I was very lucky to achieve. But it all started, I didn't know the Merchant Navy when I was leaving school. I didn't know anything about it. I just happened to fall into it. And, you know, I've been at sea as a captain, and now I'm, you know, chair of King George's Fund for Sailors, but also the managing director of Isle of Man Maritime. And, you know, I'm dedicated to try and bring the light Merchant Navy, everything that we do. So I was explaining earlier on that 98% of goods in the UK is brought in by a seafarer or a ship. That's probably significantly higher here. But our seafarers are very much, you know, in the periphery. They're not. And Merchant Navy Day gives us the ability to actually say thank you to them.
So how did this idea for Wear It Red come about?
So it's our flag is red. So the Merchant Navy ensign is red. And so the King George's Fund for Sailors is pretty much, it's one of the, you know, it started 70 years ago. Not many people probably know about it. That's outside of the Merchant Navy field. And we're working in tandem with Isle of Man Maritime to raise awareness around the seafarers. And we're asking not just our members, but everyone to sort of wear something red and recognize that pretty much everything you wear, or when you're going into Marksies, or when you turn on your heating, or if you go into the fishmongers, has been brought in by a seafarer or a fisher. And we're an island nation, and this, you know, and they work 24 hours a day, you know, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. They are operating around the world, and they really are our unsung heroes, because, you know, we forget sometimes when we turn on that heating, it's been brought in right below us here at the LNG LPG terminal, you know, when you go into Marksies, and sometimes when it goes wrong and when the vessel doesn't sail, our seafarers are the ones that get the brunt of our anger. And it's so unwarranted, because, you know, they work hard to make sure that, you know, everything on our table, everything that we wear, gets to us.
So this King George's Fund for Sailors, then, how does that directly benefit seafarers and the maritime community here on the island?
So we work in tandem with Isle of Man Maritime in terms of this year we sponsored youngsters to go on board the tall ship to get an experience for a week about, you know, what it is like to be at sea. We also run the Woolly Hat Appeal, which is in December, which we'll be launching. And to those seafarers that have been around the world, you'll probably recognise, you get your hamper and you'd get a woolly hat, and now you cherish it. I certainly cherish mine. But also, we have a very good and thriving cadet program and apprenticeship program. So Isle of Man Maritime, we fund cadetships and we fund apprenticeships. We have 8 Manx cadets in the system. We have three starting in September. And what happens is, if something had to happen and their laptop had to break or something like that, we have a hardship fund. And it's also all around the publicity around getting people interested in maritime. Like, what is it? What do we do? Well, actually, you interact with maritime every single day. So it's raising awareness as well.
So then how can companies, businesses, individuals on the island get involved with this Wear It Red Day on Wednesday?
So if you go onto our website, which is kgfs.im, if you scroll down, there's a QR code, or contact info@maritime.im and I'll be able to assist you. But it's not just about wearing red, it's about also recognising the significance of wearing red and just giving our seafarers just a thank you. You do incredible work, and this is not just within the steam packet or Mezron, it's the people that bring us the LNG, it's our fishers, it's our people that work within harbours, and also the fishery protection guys that work on the Barul. This is just maybe our way of just saying thank you for that.
Captain Lee Clark, thank you so much for being with us. We'd like to see the photographs on Wednesday as well, and we'll share those on our social media pages. It is coming up to 5:15.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, some new roadworks to look out for around the island. All this week, a stretch of Tremode Road is closed. That's 24 hours a day. That is for some repair works. There are temporary lights at the bottom end of Derby Road. That's 24 hours a day. That's for sewer work. Also in Douglas for the next couple of weeks, temporary lights on Saddle Road. That's for wall repairs. The Glenfaber Road is closed in Peel near the new sewage treatment plant. That's for the installation of a new water main there. In St John's all this week, temporary lights at the junction with Station Road and Patrick Road. That's 24 hours a day. And in Laxey, temporary lights on the Ramsey Road, that's near the Menorca Crossroads again, 24 hours a day for wall and bank work. Looking down at the airport, a slight delay on the Edinburgh flight. That's now not going to go until 8:10, but everything else looking okay and all pretty good with the steam packet as well.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
Well, we're going to go back to the classic TT now, because the clerk of the TT course has admitted that Friday's contingency session couldn't be used because they didn't have enough volunteers. The senior classic TT race couldn't take place because damp patches around the course hadn't cleared in time ahead of the roads needing to reopen. The two races that did run also had to be shortened, and Gary Thompson has been explaining that decision.
There are contingency sessions that we could have used, but we are reliant on a huge volunteer sector, whether that's marshals, officials, personnel in race control. The whole event is reliant on these officials, marshals and everybody giving up their time freely, basically. So we've not been able to cover the contingency sessions, but mainly, you know, obviously we've suffered with the event, with the weather. The plan was to give every class a race. People have put a lot of time and effort to get here, so we wanted to give every opportunity for every class to have a race. And I know some people don't like the one lap races, personally nor do I, but you know, it is what it is. You know, we have only got a finite amount of time to get these races in. The race organisation is bound by the race authorisation. You know, obviously, once I've closed the roads, I've got to have the roads open by a certain time, so we've all got to be very mindful of that. The back end of the historic junior race, the last few competitors were literally being chased across the mountain by a rain cloud, and the last few would have got a bit damp, to be honest. So we put in a delay before the senior classic, obviously much more powerful bikes on slick tyres, and once the travelling marshals, all experienced ex-racers, did their inspection lap, it became clear that there were certain parts of the course which just was not suitable for classic senior bikes to be run on slick tyres. So bearing in mind safety always comes first, I made the decision to cancel the senior classic and obviously the rest of the event because of that. You know, obviously safety is paramount and we want everybody to go home safely. But disappointed into the event, but I hope everybody who's come has enjoyed it.
That is the clerk of the TT course, Gary Thompson, who's been very open about the decisions he had to make over the last few days of the Classic TT. And just finally, on the MGP and Classic TT period, it was also very busy for the island's roads on open roads. Now, over the past 2 weeks, 16 motorists have been arrested for drink or drug driving. Inspector Elliot Butler from the Isle of Man Constabulary gave an update to Simon Clark.
It's been very much almost policing as usual. However, whenever you get any increase in visitor numbers, or any kind of, obviously you see quite a few events that are associated with the Manx Grand Prix. So you see obviously an increase in people maybe going out, socialising, and our job is to make sure that people can do that safely. And one of our biggest areas that we look at as part of the roads policing operation is drink and drug driving, which is one of the fatal five. Just a few figures for you, just for over this Grand Prix period, from the 15th of August, we've seen 16 people arrested
really?
For drink and drug driving type offences.
A fairly high number, isn't it? And is there a sort of statistic on locals and visitors?
Drink and drug driving isn't just it's not just an Isle of Man issue. It's an issue in the UK. It's an issue in, you know, other countries. So I don't really, at the moment in time, I don't really see a breakdown in who's local, who's not. It's something that we do analyse after the event to look for trends.
What about the weather? Obviously, we've been, touch wood, we've been lucky enough with the weather for the race and in the Grand Prix and the TT Classics. But how does that affect your policing? I mean, rainy days where people are mulling around with something to do, or is it sort of changed when it's nice and sunny? Or
yeah, you can definitely see the differences. I mean, the main one is I've got my Manx tan from the first week. But there is definitely a difference in the weather. So when you're looking at absolute beautiful, stunning weather, the roads are naturally busier. People want to go out on the bikes more. That can lead to an increased chance of some road traffic collisions happening. Keeps us a little bit busier. But that's just from the roads policing aspect. When you've got the rainy weather, people tend to maybe go to a pub. They tend to stay at home. They might drink at home. So it can almost just shift the demand to a different spectrum, really. Instead of road traffic collisions, we might see an increase in drunken offences and things like that, which is perfectly normal. It's a perfectly normal trend.
That is Inspector Elliot Butler from the Isle of Man Constabulary, who is talking to Simon Clark there. 5:20. Now, plans have been submitted to convert a former bank branch in Castletown. Manx National Heritage is looking to transform the former Barclays building in Market Square into one that houses a retail space and visitor hub with office space on the upper level. Chanel has more details.
The project will be funded independently of the grant received from Treasury. Through the hub, visitors will be able to purchase tickets for all Manx National Heritage sites, and during the quieter months, the space will be used by local artisans and producers for smaller events like workshops. Meanwhile, the top level will be able to accommodate between 8 and 10 people, who the applicant says will contribute towards the local economy by encouraging spend in the town centre. Subject to planning approval, work could begin later this year. The Manx National Heritage Chief Executive says they're delighted to bring forward plans that will breathe new life into the important building in the heart of Castletown. Connie Laval says their vision is to create a welcoming space to showcase the significance of the island's heritage and to enhance the visitor experience while supporting the local community and economy. Meanwhile, Pauline Wall, head of the operations, added they aim to attract new visitors, reinvigorate public engagement, and extend its offering in keeping with the Market Square's already vibrant atmosphere.
Chanel Suku reporting. Now, FC Isle of Man manager Paul Jones says it was always going to be a difficult start to the season for his new-look squad as the Ravens fell to a late defeat to Padenham in the NWCFL Premier Division last Saturday. The Manx side's 3-2 loss at the Bowl means they sit bottom of the league with just one win from their opening 8 matches.
I said before pre-season started and all through pre-season, every time we speak, we knew it was going to be tough with the group that we knew we had and the training group and the availability and the injuries and, you know, various other bits and pieces. We knew it was we're going to have to learn on the job very quickly, and it could go one way or the other. You can see they're improving. I can certainly see they're improving kind of week to week, game to game, and it's what they need. The club's about providing an opportunity for players who wouldn't get exposure to a good level, a higher level of football easily if they didn't live on the Isle of Man. So that aim is happening, and it's hard, it's difficult, but we shouldn't be coming and winning every game of football 9-0. That isn't helping improve players and improve everybody, you know, from a football point of view on the island. So yeah, they've got to learn quick. We all have to learn quick. It's not the group of players we had 3 years ago. So the hard part from a manager's point of view is that you're kind of constantly saying the same things over and over again to a new group of players or new players within the group because they've not learnt the lessons that the others have from the last two or three seasons. So, you know, as much as there are kind of some wise heads in there, players who have played lots of games at this level, there's also a lot that haven't, and you can't just kind of like give that information and those experiences and that learning through osmosis and, or, you know, download it into their brain and away they go. Like, it doesn't work like that. It's not a video game. Like, the way they learn is through experiences and difficult moments, and hopefully in the next week or two, like, that turns and we win 3-2 or we win 1-0 in the last minute, and, you know, then they understand how to manage those moments maybe a little bit better. And, you know, I think we're at that place where it's a rapid kind of learning development journey where we're right at the messy bottom of it and it'll flip. It's just being patient and making sure we treat them in the right way and we're respectful of them and their needs in terms of really wanting to push on, and we don't make it harder for them than it already is.
That is the FC Isle of Man manager Paul Jones. Well, the Ravens return to action this coming weekend. They're travelling to Burscough on Saturday. But we're going to have some more sports news now. Hello, Rob Pritchard.
Fast am I. Well, we're going to stick with football because Peel began their defence of the Canada Life Men's Premier League title with victory in an 11-goal thriller on the opening day of the 25-26 Manx football season at the weekend. The Westerners managed a 7-4 victory away at Ramsey, whilst last season's runners-up Ayr United took a commanding 7-1 win at home to Foxdale. Elsewhere in the top flight, Corinthians, St Mary's, Rushen United and Laxey all started the latest campaign with wins. In Ardern and Drogheda Limited Division 2, Douglas Royal made the biggest statement with a 7-0 hammering of St George's, who were relegated from the top flight last season. Castletown and Pulrose United both took 3 points in their respective contests, while Colby and Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys played out an entertaining 3-3 draw. There were also a number of high-scoring wins across the combination leagues, including Pulrose United hitting 18 goals past Douglas and District in Ardern and Drogheda Limited Combination 2. You can view all of last weekend's results at manxradio.com. Elsewhere, Isle of Man professional cyclist Matthew Bostock looks set to contest the 2025 Lloyd's Tour of Britain Men this week. The Manxman has been named in the provisional start list for the Great Britain cycling team. He's one of six competitors named in the lineup, along with Ben Wiggins, Ben Chilton, Josh Charlton, Joshua Golliker and Hugh Buck-Jones. Elsewhere, former World Scratch Race champion Ben Swift, who represented the Isle of Man at the 2022 Commonwealth Games, is named in the Ineos Grenadiers team for the same event. And finally, in tennis, Ori Farmworth and Charlotte Clark successfully defended their singles titles during the finals of the 2025 Ireland Tennis Championships last weekend. Five trophies were decided at Douglas Lawn Tennis Club across last Friday evening and Saturday morning. On Saturday, the singles finals took place with Farmworth taking a convincing win over Sean Drury, 6-1, 6-1 in the men's event. Clark was equally commanding in winning the women's singles showdown, beating Ava Osterbury in straight sets, 6-love, 6-love. The day previous, the focus was on the doubles competitions. In the men's final, number one seed Drury and Farmworth proved too strong for Andrew Maxwell and Nick Reeder, and the women's doubles was played in a round robin format and eventually won by Clark and Long, with Clark partnering Drury to win the mixed doubles.
Rob, thank you very much indeed. Doesn't it seem weird that MGP and Classic TT were only just a few days ago? I feel like I'm in some sort of dream world, I think.
It's gone through in a whirlwind, hasn't it? It both felt like a long 2 weeks, but then also seemed to fly by as well. So much going on.
Very, very strange. Well, remember that you can keep up to date with what's happening news-wise by visiting manxradio.com. We've also got the newscasts in there as well. They're longer interviews that don't all get played on air. And there's also the sportscast as well, keeping up to date with all the very latest sports news here on the Isle of Man. But that is all from Update this evening. Coming up next, it's Rewind with Howard Kane. Then it is Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley. That's from 6 p.m. At 9, Time for Brass with Ian Cottier. And then Dave Moore will be here with After Hours from 10. Ben and the gang will be back with breakfast from 6 tomorrow morning. Lots on that programme. And if you want to get in touch as ever, studio@manxradio.com, or you can text 166177 or WhatsApp 07624 166177. I'll be back with Update tomorrow at 5. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one, and I'll talk to you then.
Hello, this is Andy Wint. Next on Man in Line, another Your Pharmacist and You with Nick Kay, past chairman of the National Pharmacy Association. The relationship between the patient, medical practitioner and pharmacist is changing, so it's important that you, the patient, know where you stand. How do you identify a side effect? What's a contraindication? And what's the difference between an analgesic and an antibiotic? There won't be any personal clinical advice, but we'll aim to clarify the subject. Talk to pharmacist Nick Kay on Man in Line this Wednesday at midday, on your smart device, on air, online, on Manx Radio.